climate change we can believe in?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Barack Obama declared this morning the U.S. is a serious partner in combating global warming. He spoke at the United Nations, where more than 100 world leaders are discussing how to cut greenhouse gas emissions. Reporter Tamara Keith joins us live. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, Bill.
What was the president's message?
Well, it seemed clear that he was trying to reassure leaders from around the world that the U.S. is willing to play ball on climate change in a way that it hasn't in recent years. And, you know, this is a key time for negotiations ahead of the big climate meeting in Copenhagen in December.
Right. You know, before the president spoke, I saw that the head of the U.N. got up and basically told these world leaders, hurry up and get over your differences. How are negotiations going?
Well, there are certainly differences about how much the big developed countries are supposed to contribute, how much of the load they'll carry compared to the developing countries, and how they would finance going green. President Obama, in his speech, made it clear that the global recession isn't going to help matters. It's going to be tough for countries to spend money to clean up their emissions when they're worried about unemployment.
And so all of us will face doubts and difficulties in our own capitals as we try to reach a lasting solution to the climate challenge. But I'm here today to say that difficulty is no excuse for complacency.
And what about in President Obama's capital? What's the state of climate change in Washington?
Well, the House has passed a climate change bill, but the Senate is nowhere near having something ready. And political watchers say that we've got health care and financial regulatory reform and issues of troop levels in Afghanistan. There's a lot going on, and climate change may not be a priority. The U.S. may not have anything to carry into Copenhagen.
Reporter Tamara Keith, live in Washington. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now let's check Wall Street. The S&P 500 is up 0.3%, the NASDAQ just 0.1%, and the Dow is ahead 6 points at 9,785. European markets up 0.5%, and Asian markets were mostly higher today. The Federal Reserve Board starts a two-day meeting today, and nobody thinks they'll raise interest rates now. The big question is when and how to ease up on the monetary gas. Here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
A lot of cheap money is sloshing around between rock-bottom interest rates and virtually free loans to banks. Eventually, that's a recipe for inflation. So the Fed will have to pull money back out of the economy by calling in loans and selling off bad bank debts. But right now, inflation is nowhere to be seen, says William Dunkelberg, the chief economist at the National Federation of Independent Business. In fact, he says salaries are dropping.
So compensation is certainly under control. Unit labor costs are not going to be going up, and that's the main thing that puts pressure on prices.
Without inflation, there's little need for the Fed to raise rates or unwind lending programs. And some think even when inflation arrives, the Fed should hold off.
If we could get some inflation, I think that would be great.
Christopher Hayes is the Washington editor for The Nation magazine. He says a little inflation for a little while would get the economy's juices flowing again and reduce unemployment. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com. And by Monsanto, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields without increasing demands on natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com.
One of the causes of the housing bubble was it was too easy to get a mortgage. Now the problem is, with the new rules in place, it can be really hard to get a mortgage, especially in the new condo market, as Sally Herships reports from New York.
Susan Combs and her boyfriend started shopping for a condo in New York City about a year and a half ago. When the financial crisis hit, Combs saw a potential silver lining: lower prices in one of the many new developments that sprang up around the city during the building boom. But it hasn't worked out that way.
It seems like if you've done everything right, you've worked really hard to save money, you've worked hard to make sure that your credit's good, and it's still not enough. I mean, the prices and the interest rates, absolutely, it's a great time to buy if you can get a mortgage.
And getting a mortgage from Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac is nearly impossible right now. Combs' credit score is higher than 700, but Fannie and Freddie have tightened up their rules for financing loans in new buildings. They won't underwrite a loan for any apartment in a new building until 70% of the units there are under contract and on their way to being sold. Brian Lochner works for the American Development Group in New York. He says this has brought sales in some buildings to a halt.
A new buyer walking in the door is going to ask you how much have you sold, and you can't lie to them. And if you're saying, well, you're going to be the third, fourth, fifth, or sixth unit sold, they're going to walk out because who wants to wait for you to sell the next 40 units?
Rather than wait, developers are turning to the Federal Housing Authority. The FHA guarantees loans up to $729,000, but its guidelines are a lot less strict than Fannie and Freddie's. Down payments can be as little as 3.5%. But even today, $729,000 doesn't buy much in New York. So rather than trying to lure in buyers who can pay bigger deposits, Lochner says development companies like his are finding creative ways to fall in line with the FHA.
We shrank each unit size so that every single one of those units fits into the FHA funding guidelines. So we went from $1 million apartments to $650,000 or $700,000 apartments.
There are about 70 buildings in New York City that the FHA has approved for financing. But unfortunately for Susan Combs and her boyfriend, only 11 of those are in Manhattan. Worse still, the FHA is rolling out new restrictions, too. From October the 1st, it will only insure 30% of loans in any one building. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, the Bangor Daily News reports Gary Nisbet was moving furniture in Maine when a new employee named Randy joined the crew. Gary and Randy looked so much alike, customers would ask whether they were brothers. You know the customer's always right. Yes, it turns out they were each given up for adoption as babies. 35 years later, they're sitting in the same furniture truck. They told their story to their colleagues last week. One coworker says the women cried and the guys just said, wow. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a good Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.